I'm a park ranger and I dig danger, dream of it night and day. And God willing, I think I'm killing people who get in my way.
Yeah, baby. Welcome back to the program. Torture Radio on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Angelo Viola, Stephen Labadie, Derek Brandeo, Andrew Holland, and on the line with us is the man who makes this all possible, the producer of this program. He is he weaves the magic every week. His name is John Winters, former park superintendent, Algonquin Park, that is, the park, not just a park, the park. Good morning, JW. Fresh from Jamaica, too, I hear.
Yeah, baby, it was great.
Oh, did you get any sun on that pale, lily white skin of yours?
Well, I got a little. The real problem is getting out of the bar. They keep throwing this red stripe at you, and what are you going to do? And as soon as you finish it, then you get a shot of Appleton's. I mean, I just had a ball.
Oh, good for you, man. Where did you go exactly? What part of the island?
I was in the Grill, which has a beautiful 7-mile beach. Just spectacular by any stretch in the Caribbean. Typically, the Caribbean countries don't have these big, long stretches of beach because they're volcanic islands, so you've got all rock outcrops. So small beach, another one, another one, another one with rock outcrops in between. But this is spectacular. I had a great time.
Did you get to Rick's Bar?
Well, you know, it's interesting you ask about that because we went down by catamaran, and so we're offshore. You get a totally different view of that. And for those who aren't familiar, it's about 50 years of history, a very popular location with tourists and locals. And the tourists will go there to dive off of the cliffs. Now, they do the weenie dive is what I call it, but I wouldn't do it myself. It's about 30 feet. But then you get the real guys, and these are the guys that climb the pole, and they're up about 100 feet. And when that happens, all hell breaks loose at the bar. It's just, it's a quite a scene, and they do a great job, heck of a piece of entertainment. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's great. Been there several times. It's a must-do if you're in Jamaica, for sure. All right. Now you've had the fun and games, right? You're relaxed. You're in good shape now. You recharge. You're ready to go.
Yeah, I would say so. I'm back. Yeah.
All right. So then the first thing you're going to tackle are these two riveting news stories that I had to read this morning at the top of the program.
I thought you'd probably arrange that. Now, the thing I wanted to mention about the first one. You're a Neanderthal on climate change. You see, you figure the world population of 7.7 billion people, Angelo Viola will be the last guy to pony up on this. So I thought I'd start off small, something that you could do a small bite with, you know, like an electric van for fish. Fish, you're into fish. And this is going to be an opportunity for all of us to see how this all evolves in a commercial sense. And the second story... The fish food story.
I
think this one should be right in your wheelhouse. We're trying to push for sustainable fisheries and get the nets out of the ocean. There's a couple of reasons. One of them is transmission of disease and viruses. So put them land-based, and that's happening. Mm. But then do we want to raid the oceans for the food to feed the fish? Do we want to continue to do that? And in some cases, jeopardize natural fish stocks by depleting the bait fish supply? And the answer to this, it looks very promising. They're going to use soy, which is a lot cheaper than pulling fish out of the ocean.
I'm reading. Here's what I got. Listen. Here's what I got. It says soybean meal experiments as fish meal have been around for a number of years.
The results have been 2010, 2015,
Okay. Don't interrupt me. I'm reading your words here. The results have been mixed for the fish farm operators because the fish had issues with digestion, and the growth rates were poor. Now, where in the hell do you see in that paragraph an opportunity for me to get my Save the World box out and stand on it and say, hey, see, now we're going to save the oceans because we're feeding our penned up fish soybean meal. I don't
see
that.
Is there more text in there? I mean, did I proofread this at 5 or 6 o'clock last night? I tried, but I was in a car. Anyway, read on. Is there more?
I recent studies in China, Japan, and U.S. show that if the soybean is crushed, the liquid is removed, and the meal is fermented, and then toasted, the results are excellent. The soy meal is much cheaper at $450 per ton as compared to $1,400 to $2,000 per ton to catch ocean fish and anchovy for fish meal.
Yeah, are you getting, like, do I need to send you a coloring book with this?
Well, you might want to give me a little more, because I get up early
Saturday
morning.
I thought you were a sharp cookie, that you'd be able to figure this all out. But I'll tell you, I'll give you more. I can do that for you. But think about this. If you can develop an alternate source of protein to feed to the aquaculture industry, which is going to be what sustains us in the future. We're not going to be able to take it all out of the ocean. We all agree on that. I hope we do. Bottom line is, if we can do this and use soy, then I think it's a better, far better alternative if it's, as the scientists have outlined, it's healthy fish raised in a more environmentally responsible way.
Joe Rogan, I don't know whether you listened to him or not, he had a fascinating overview of that concept, but not as it pertained to soy for fish meal, but organically, you know, sustaining our masses with vegan food, as he called it. And his overview is very simple. Has anybody done the math? Has anybody looked into what it costs per acre of growth of whatever it is, from alfalfa to soy to whatever it is we're growing to sustain ourselves? Anybody done the math as to the amount of toxins, including carbon, that we're putting into the atmosphere by growing these things, as opposed to, you know, natural harvesting of animals?
Well, I think it's a bit of a mug's game, and I'm sure that you can get mathematicians on both sides of this that would argue that this is a very destructive process, and you get the guy on the other side of the coin who says, no, it's not a destructive process. But at the end of the day, you can go to the bank on this. Angelo Viola doesn't want a soy burger, but you might eat that fish that tastes like fish, that has all of the properties and nutrients of fish, and let them eat the soy.
Perfect. See, now that I'll let somebody else do the heavy lifting is what you're saying.
Exactly.
I love it. Yeah. I'm into that.
Yeah. Quick question for you, one last thing that we did not cover is just a bit of a heads up to folks that are going to places like I went to. There's some dengue fever issues down south right now. And the one piece of advice I give to people who are traveling south, because I did not know this was going on until I got down in Jamaica and started reading some local media. This is dangerous stuff. Stay in the places where there's wind. Can you get bitten down there? Yes. If you get dengue, it's not good. But the one thing that seems to be the most logical is stay in the areas with the most wind, which will give you the most protection.
Were you concerned at all, John, going there? I mean, obviously, you know, not that it originates from that area or that it's even been, as far as I know, there have been no cases of corona virus there. But were you concerned at all traveling?
Well, I am, but I mean, I sort of look at it that I'd probably pick it up in the store here in Huntsville if the person has been in the wrong chain of events, if you know what I'm saying. And I know that air travel and crowded conditions and all of that. I think there's a risk in all of that. I wasn't as worried about that on this trip because I knew before I went. I did a search to find out if they had existing, outbreak in Jamaica. Yeah. Do they have any cases? And the answer was no. Doesn't mean that with the millions of people traveling that you aren't going to pick it up. But I'm not as gun-shy about that as what I would say, it was a rude awakening for me on the whole dengue front because it's a bad thing to get and has killed a lady in Toronto most recently. So for the folks who are going there, it would behoove you take 5 minutes to do a little bit of reading on this. And if you get bitten by the mosquito that's got white stripes on it, monitor your conditions for the flu, because if you come back with a wicked case of the flu 4 to 7 days after you've been bitten by the mosquito with the white stripes on it, it's not a good thing. See your doctor.
Next vacation, I'm sure you and the lovely missus have already planned it. When and where?
We don't know yet, we're accepting all offers. The key word is economical and cheap.
No, the key word is accepting.
Yeah, all right. Listen, have a great weekend.
Thanks, Johnny. All right, buddy. Nice to have you home. Take care, my friend. Right. John Winters, producer of Outdoor Journal Radio. Hey, folks, don't forget, I keep telling you, but I do it because some people come in and out of this show as they're traveling around. The Toronto Spring Camping and RV Show and Sale starts this Thursday, February 27th to March 1st at the International Center. It is the biggest show of its kind in the country, period, bar none. You can go there and just browse around, get some great deals on the latest models of tent trailers, right up to those luxurious Class A motorhomes that I aspire one day when I grow up of being able to. No, I won't own one, just to use one for, I don't know, as a mobile studio or something.
That'd be cool.
I love those things. Anyways, you can shop for parts and camping accessories to your heart's content in the massive superstore they have there. Or you can book your next adventure destination. If you're planning on an RV trip or a camping trip, everybody who is anybody that has a destination will be at this show. You can talk to them face-to-face and book your next outing. You can attend the RV lifestyle seminars that are ongoing throughout the 4 days of the show. And while you're there, make sure you enter to win that 7-day motorhome dream vacation of a lifetime. That's all included in the price of admission. Somebody will win that 7-day motorhome dream vacation of a lifetime. It's all taking place at the International Center this coming week, February 27th. That's Thursday, right through till Sunday, March the 1st. You don't want to miss it. For more information, go to thebigrvshow.ca. That's thebigrvshow.ca.